12th chapter, Luke, the 12th chapter. Fanny Estelle Church Davison experienced considerable tragedy in her life at age 10 when her father was killed. Her mother eventually remarried and relocated the family to Carthage, Missouri. Fanny wrote a lot of poetry. Some of them became hymns. Some of those hymns are in our hymn books. At age 26, she composed the following lines. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. 10 years after writing that poem, age 36, Fanny died. She's buried in Carthage. Part of the second line of her poem says, keep me from secret sin. We all have them, don't we? A secret sin. Something very few, if any, other people know about. Perhaps it's a situation where we did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, or didn't do what we should have done, didn't say what we should have said. And we're ashamed of that situation. We're ashamed of that sin. We're mortified that somehow it might get out, and when it does, we think that we'll lose friends, that we'll lose family, that we'll lose our reputation. And so we keep it buried. We keep it locked away. Actually, Satan likes it that way. He likes it when we're afraid that it'll get out. Because such secret sins give him leverage over us. Fear of that secret getting out, or of the hidden shame that we send in that area, keeps us from reaching our full potential in Christ Jesus. It keeps us from serving others as much as we could. So may I share a secret with you? There are no secret sins. You thought I was going to say something. That's for me to know and you to find out. There are no secret sins. Luke 12, beginning in verse 2. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. Isn't that a little bit disturbing? Isn't that kind of unsettling that your secret is going to be shouted from the housetops one day? Yikes. The truth is, according to Jesus, everything will eventually get out. Those secrets have a way of worming to the surface and poking out at the most inconvenient times. Really, we shouldn't be afraid of our alleged secrets getting out so much as we should fear the God who already knows them. That's still Luke 12. The next verse, verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, that sounds scary and intimidating as well, but do you know what Jesus said immediately after that? Verses 6 through 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not even one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That doesn't sound to me like Jesus is saying that God is just looking for a reason to thump us. Instead, I think God is waiting to see whether we'll come clean. Whether we'll confess, repent, and hand our sins over to Him so that He can forgive them. Or instead of that, will we keep pushing them further and further to the back of the closet of our lives in the form of denial? God already knows them. He says, give them to me. We say, no, no. You pretend you don't know them and you can't see them. You know, the fact is that our dirty little secrets are known to at least three individuals. Yourself, obviously. Satan, or one of his angels. Don't pretend they don't know. And of course, God. And usually there's at least one other human being who knows, even though you don't think they do. Typically, it's your mom. So, just know that. But of the three primary individuals who know your secret, you, Satan, God, which one on that short list do you think is most trustworthy to handle it correctly? You? Don't make me laugh. It's your poor judgment that got you into that sin in the first place. So it isn't you. Satan? Well, he certainly has your best interest at heart, right? Not. So who does that leave? The God who already knows your secret sin and loves you anyway. I mean, have you ever considered the fact that God knows every sin you have committed and every sin you will ever commit? And knowing that, He sent His Son to die in your place. That's how much He loves you. That He would send His Son to die in our place anyway, knowing what He knows about us. Isn't that incredible? And you don't want to trust Him with your secret that isn't a secret. You want to pretend you didn't do it. You want to pretend you don't have it. You want to pretend God doesn't see. That's not going to help you. Since God already knows it, why not dig it up? Why not drag it out from underneath the bed? Why not retrieve it from wherever you keep it and give it over to God completely and for real? And not just give it over to God. You know, sometimes God seems far away. Sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for us to relate to Him because we can't see Him. We may see evidence for Him all around, but if you love someone else, aren't there times you just want to reach out and touch them? Just for reassurance. You know, hold their hand. Put your arm around them or have them put their arm around you. Have you ever loved someone that you've never given a hug? Or just held in some way for comfort? Ever? And we think we can't get that from God because He's not a physical being. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has a body, doesn't He? And His body has arms, doesn't it? And hands. Now, who would Christ's arms and hands be to wrap around God's children who are hurting? That's you and me. That's one of the reasons Christ left us here, left His church here. To demonstrate God's love to others in a tangible way. To demonstrate God's mercy and compassion to others in a tangible way. When God's child needs a hug, to get a hug from Christ's body. That's one of the main reasons we're here. So part of trusting God with our secret sin is trusting other believers with that sin. That scares us. And I understand why it scares us. Because in a gathering such as this, without question, there are immature and irresponsible and fleshly minded individuals who will not prove trustworthy with your secret. I get that. I've actually been one of those people. I'd like to say I'll never be one of those people again. But as soon as I say I will never, whatever comes after never, I'm setting myself up. So I try not to have the illusion that I'll never sin again, in one way or another. And I'll never make a mistake in a relationship again, one way or the other. There are people here who are immature and irresponsible and who would take that vulnerability that you shared and use it in an ugly way. That's not shame on you. That's shame on them. They're just piling up their sins. And they don't represent God and how He will deal with you. But in a room such as this, there are also mature and discreet Christians. Here's what I've found. I mean, you don't have to blab to everyone. I don't even recommend blabbing everyone. I just don't see that in Scripture. Find a few mature Christians whom you can trust. Use some good judgment about whom you'll share with, but still, share. My experience has been that the majority of the members of Christ's body turn out to be quite gracious and merciful and understanding when they learn of another Christian's failings. Why are they that way? Because they know they have them too. And my experience over the years is when you open up to one of those mature Christians and you disclose your secret, you'll discover they have them too. Because they have them too. And God's been gracious and merciful to them, they then turn God's grace and mercy on you. It's amazing to me, fear holds us back. That I've seen time and time again when somebody finally comes clean with a few other mature Christians, they experience freedom. They've taken the leverage away from Satan. And they've discovered in their brothers and sisters a tangible demonstration of God's mercy and grace. Godly people don't get all high and mighty on you. Godly people don't treat you like a leper. Instead, they demonstrate God's love toward you, and part of that love is holding you accountable rather than throwing you under the bus. Helping you to grow in your faith. Helping you to put that behind you and move on where you can serve Jesus more freely and more fully. So let us pray, as Fanny Davison did, that we be pure in heart, and that we avoid sin, secret or otherwise. But let us also be humble and contrite, not giving Satan any leverage by pretending we don't have these secret sins. Instead, confess them to God, and to trusted Christians who can display God's mercy to us and help us live an accountable life. That's one of the things I draw from what Jesus said in Luke 12 about our sins being shouted from the rooftop one day. And yet, us serving a God who knows the hairs on our head, and to whom we are more valuable. He knows every single bird out there and when it just falls to the earth. He cares about them, but He cares about you more. The death of His Son proves that. Let us live lives of freedom in Christ instead of in bondage, dirty little sin. Pray you'll contemplate these things. Reflect on them. Okay? Act on them in a Christ-honoring way.